It was 1937, January 23rd. Last time we read already this, we just repeat. I did not feel like writing today. Then I heard a voice in my soul. My daughter, you do not live for yourself, but for souls. Write for their benefit. You know that my will as to your writing has been confirmed many times by your confessors. You know what's pleasing to me. If you have any doubts about what I'm saying, you also know whom you are to ask. I grant him light to pronounce judgment on my case, the priest. My eye watches over him. My daughter, you are to be like a child towards him, full of simplicity and candor. Put his judgment above all my demands. He will guide you according to my will. If he doesn't allow you to carry out my demands, be at peace. I will not judge you, but the matter will remain between me and him. You are to be obedient. Many times we want to do things when we are at leisure time, feel good. She didn't feel good, I mean physically. She just wants to stop everything. Too tiresome. Because nobody responds practically. But Jesus says, you're right. If you don't want, ask my confessor, and he will tell you what to do. January 25th, 1937. Today my soul is steeped in bitterness. Oh Jesus, oh my Jesus, today everyone can add to my cup of bitterness. It makes no difference between whether they be friend or foe. They can all inflict suffering on me. You know, at times, you can feel no nights at all, no friends at all. Even their friends, but you don't feel. That's a time of agony of Jesus as we share part of his passion. And you, O Jesus, are bound to give me strength and power in these difficult moments. O blessed host, support me and seal my lips against all murmuring and complaint. When I'm silent, I know I shall be victorious. January 27. I feel considerable improvements in my health. Jesus is bringing me from the gates of death to life. Because there was no little left but for me to die. And lo, the Lord grants me the fullness of life. Although I'm still to remain in the sanatorium, I'm almost completely well. I see that the will of God has not yet been fulfilled in me. And that is why I must live. For I know that if I fulfill everything the Lord has planned for me in this world, he will not leave me in exile any longer. For heaven is my home. So her mission hasn't complete. We can see this, no? We are still on earth. Because we have some missions still have to fulfill. You have this mind, not just complain, why this and why that. This is your mission. No, Jesus invites us. Heaven is our home. She said, if my mission complete, surely Jesus will invite me to heaven. Not yet. That means not complete. Still we are alive. That means we still have to fulfill our mission. Before we go to our homeland, we must fulfill the will of God on earth. That is, trials and struggles must run their full course in us. Oh my Jesus, you're giving me back my health and life. Give me also strength for battle, because I'm unable to do anything without you. Give me strength, for you can do all things You see that I'm a frail child. What can I do? I look the full power of your mercy, and I trust that you will give me everything your feeble child needs. I've desired death to so much. I do not know whether I shall ever again in my life experience such great longing for God. There has been times when I felt into a swoon for him. Oh, how ugly the earth when one knows heaven. I must do violence to myself in order to live. O will of God, you are my nourishment. Oh, how trapped and full of misunderstandings is this life. My patience is exercised, and after it comes experience. I understand and learn many things each day, and see I know very little, and I'm constantly discovering faults in my conduct. Still, I'm not discouraged by this, but thanks God that he deigns to grant me his light, that I may know myself. There is a certain person who tests my patience. There's always somebody. I must devote much time to her. When I talk with her, I feel that she's lying, and this continually, because she tells me about things far away which I cannot verify. She's able to get away with the lie. But I'm inwardly convinced that there is no truth in what she says. When it occurred to me once that I might be mistaken and that she might be telling the truth, I asked the Lord Jesus to give me the following sign. If she's really lying, let her admit to me herself that she has lied about any one of the things concerning which I am inwardly convinced that she's lying. And if she's telling the truth, let the Lord Jesus take this conviction away from me. A little later, she came to me again and said, "Sister, I beg your forgiveness, but I have lied about such and such a thing." And I understood that the inner light concerning that person had not misled me. It's powerful. Unless you live totally for the Lord, then you have this insight. Otherwise, you will join with the lie. During January 29, 1937, I overslept last night. A little longer, and I would have been too late for Holy Communion, because the chapel is a good distance from our section. When I went outdoors, the snow was knee deep. But before it occurred to me that the doctor would not have allowed me to go out in such snow. I had already come to the Lord in the chapel. I received Holy Communion and was back in no time. I heard these words in my soul. My daughter rests close to my heart. Known to me are your efforts. My soul is more joyful when I'm close to the heart of my Lord. January 23rd, one day retreat. I'm coming to know God's greatness more and more and to rejoice in him. I remain unceasingly with him in the depths of my heart. It is my own soul that I most easily find God. During my meditation, I heard these words from the Lord. My daughter, you give me more glory by patiently submitted to my will, and you win for yourself greater merit than that which any fast or mortification could ever gain for you. Know, my daughter, that if you submit your will to mine, you draw upon yourself my special delight. the sacrifice is pleasing to me and full of sweetness. I take great pleasure in it. There is power in it. So do the will of God faithfully, more than prayer and more than fasting. You can fast, but you don't know what you don't want to do, think that you should do. No. Jesus preferred us with joy, do the will of the Father. So many times you don't want to do your job, lusty job. But if it is will of God, do it far better than you fast. Examination of conscience. Continuation of the same, to unite myself to the merciful Christ. Practice interior silence, that is, strict observance of silence. That means silence not only speech, but also judgment. You know, you're criticizing everything in your heart, there's no silence. Of course, you don't need to speak out. I've got to keep my silence, but not true silence. Silence, one with the Lord, just the host. Just listen, forgiving, praying, that silence. In difficult moments, I will fix my gaze upon the silent heart of Jesus, stretched upon the cross, and from the exploding flames of his merciful heart, he will flow down upon my power and strength to keep fighting. An extraordinary thing. In winter, a canary comes to my window, a bird, and sings beautifully for a while. I've tried to check whether there is a canary in a cage somewhere around. It's a beautiful song, no? Or the cardinal, no? The red birds sound beautiful. But there's none anywhere, not even in the neighborhood. One of the other patients also heard it, only once. I wondered how a canary could be seen in this freezing season for the year. It's outside, no? It's snow. The bird singing so beautifully. Oh Jesus, how sorry I feel for poor sinners. Jesus, grant them contrition and repentance. Remember your own sorrowful passion. I know your infinite mercy. I cannot bear it that a soul has caused you so much should perish. Jesus, give me the souls of sinners. Let your mercy rest upon them. Take everything away from me, but give my souls. Give me souls. I want to become a sacrificial host for sinners. Let a shell of my body conceal my offering. For your most secret heart is also hidden in a host, and certainly you are a living sacrifice. So that's later. He's saying the first sacrament. Transform me into yourself, O Jesus, that I may be a living sacrifice and pleasing to you. I decide to atone at each moment for the poor sinners. The sacrifice of my spirit is hidden under the veil of the body. The human eye does not perceive it, and for that reason it is pure and pleasing to you. For my Creator, Father of great mercy, I trust in you, for you are goodness itself. So do not be afraid of God, but trust in him, for he is good and his mercy is everlasting. We know each other mutually, O Lord, in the dwelling of my heart. Yes, now it is I who am receiving you as a guest in my little home of my heart. But time is coming when you will call me to your dwelling place, which you have prepared for me from the beginning of the world. Or what am I compared to you, O Lord? The Lord is leading me into a world unknown to me. He makes known to me his great grace, but I am afraid of it and will not submit of its influence insofar as it may be in my power. Until I am assured of my spiritual director as to what the grace is. On one occasion, God's presence pervaded my whole being, and my mind was mysteriously enlightened in respect to His essence. He allowed me to understand His interior life. In spirit, I saw the three divine persons, but their essence was one. He is one and only one, but in three persons, none of them is either greater or smaller. There is no difference in either beauty or sanctity, for they are one. They are absolutely one. His love transported me into this knowledge and united me with Himself. When I was united to one, I was equally united to the second and to the third in such a way that when we are united with one, by that very fact, we are equally united to the two persons in the same way as with the one. Their will is one, one God, though in three persons. When one of the three persons communicates with a soul by the power of that one will, it finds itself united with the three persons, and it is inundated in the happiness flowing from the Most Holy Trinity, the same happiness that nourishes the saints. This same happiness that streams from the Most Holy Trinity makes all creation happy. From it springs that life which vivifies and bestows all life which takes its beginning from Him. In these moments, my soul experiences such great divine delights that I find this difficult to express. It's difficult, right? The Blessed Trinity, Shakespearean, the Father, the Son, Spirit, one God, the same and different. For me, very new. Well, I heard about it, but the way she explained, it's a more natural. Then I heard the following words spoken thus: I want you to be my spouse. Fear peace, my soul, but I calmly continue to reflect on what sort of an espousal this could be. However, each time fear would invade my soul, a power from on high would give it peace. After all, I've taken perpetual vows, and I've taken them on of my own completely free will. And also I continue to reflect on what this could mean. I sense and came to realize that this was some special kind of grace. Whenever I think about it, I feel faint for God. But in this swooning, my mind is clear and penetrated with light. When I'm united with Him, to Him, I faint from an abundance of happiness. My mind is bright and clear and free from all shadows. You abase your majesty to dwell with a poor creature. Thank you, Lord, for this great grace that makes it possible for me to commune with you. Jesus, your name is my delight. I have a presentiment of my beloved from afar, and my languishing soul rests in his embrace. I don't know how to live without him. I would rather be with him in afflictions and suffering than without him in the greatest heavenly delights. So to just have this sentiment, no matter in what situation, it's painful, joyful, the same Jesus, two faces of Jesus, still Jesus. We are encountering Jesus all time. That's important. With people, some people make you sad, suffering. Still, is suffering Jesus there? It's the face of Jesus there. Still, you are encountering Jesus with the heart of this thank. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to me in this face. February 2nd, 1937. Today, from every morning, divine absorption penetrates my soul. During Mass, I thought I would see the little Jesus, as I often do. However, today, during Holy Mass, I saw the crucified Jesus. Jesus was nailed to the cross and was in great agony. His suffering pierced me, soul and body, in a manner which was invisible, but nevertheless most painful, you see. Sometimes baby Jesus, sweet, sweet. Sometimes Jesus is painful. So, though Jesus encountering us in every situation, just be at peace, because Jesus is with us. Oh, what awesome mystery is takes place during Mass. A great mystery is accomplished in the Holy Mass. With what great devotion should we listen to and take part in the death of Jesus. One day, we will know what God is doing for us in each Mass and what sort of gift He is preparing it in it for us. Only His divine love could permit that such a gift be provided for me. O Jesus, my Jesus, with what great pain is my soul pierced when I see this fountain of life gushing forth with such sweetness and power of its soul, while at the same time I see souls withering away and drying up through their own faults. O Jesus, grant that the power of mercy embrace this soul. O Mary, today a terrible thought has pierced your holy soul. Except of God, no one knows of your suffering. I have any mother. Your soul does not break. It's brave because it is with Jesus. Sweet mother, unite my soul to Jesus, because it is only then that I will be able to endure all trials and tribulations. Only in union with Jesus will my little sacrifices be pleasing to God. Sweetest Mother, continue to teach me about the interior life. May the sort of suffering never break me. O pure Virgin, pour courage into my heart and guard it. Very seldom she mentioned about Heavenly Mother, one of few times. You know, when you love Jesus, surely our Heavenly Mother should be close to us. We shouldn't separate our Heavenly Mother with Jesus, you know? If you have the heart of Jesus, the heart of Jesus is Mary. His mother is always in his heart, suffering. She said, the brave, courageous son, she said. This day is so special for me. Even though I encountered so many sufferings, my soul is overflowing with great joy. In a private room next to mine, there was a Jewish woman who was seriously ill. I went to see her 3 days ago and was deeply pained at the thought that she would soon die without having her soul cleansed by the grace of baptism. I had an understanding with a nurse, a religious sister, that when her last moment would be approaching, she would baptize her. There was this difficulty, however, that there were always some Jewish people with her. They wanted to baptize her secretly, when nobody around, I went to baptize. However, I felt inspired to pray before the image which Jesus has instructed me to have painted. I felt lifted with the image of the Divine Mercy on the cover, and I said to the Lord, Jesus, you yourself told me that you would grant many graces through these images, through this image. I ask you then for the grace of holy baptism for this Jewish lady. It makes no difference who will baptize her as long as she is baptized. I said, you, you said, now, take your promise. After these words, I felt strangely at peace, and I was quite sure that despite the difficulties, the waters of holy baptism will be poured upon the, her soul. That night, when she was very low, I got out of bed 3 times to see her, watching for the right moment to give her this grace. The next morning, she seemed to feel a little better. In the afternoon, her last moment began to approach. The sister who was a nurse said that baptism would be difficult because they were with him, with her. The moment came when the sick woman began to lose consciousness, and as a result, in order to save her, they began to run about, some to fetch a doctor, while others went off in the direction to find help. Everybody go out to look for help. Nobody then. And so, the patient was left alone, and that sister baptized her. And before they all rushed back, her soul was beautiful, adorned with God's grace. Her final agony began immediately, but it didn't last long. It was as if she fell asleep. All of a sudden, I saw her soul ascending to heaven in wondrous beauty. Oh, how beautiful is a soul with sanctifying grace. Joy flooded my heart that before this image, I have received so great a grace on this soul. So take this image with you. Many times you don't promise. Talk to him. You promise. It's great, eh? Oh, how great is God's mercy. Let every soul praise it. Oh, my Jesus, that soul for all eternity will be singing you a hymn of mercy. I shall not forget the impression this day has made on my soul. This is the second great grace which I've received here for souls before this image. Oh, how good Lord is, and how full of compassion. Jesus, how heartily I thank you for these graces. So we share this grace, this joy of Sister Faustina. Her joy is our joy. She's the secretary for Jesus, no? So we ask her to bless us, to give you all the grace that we can follow closely, you know, with her spirit, true love, pure love, with the Lord.